Send Sam a voice note.
Hey, babe. So you really want to know what to get me, huh? Well, Lululemon just posted this new polka dot print, and I kind of love it. It's the same stuff I always wear to Pilates, but with little polka dots all over. I think it's called the Polka Flock Collection. I don't know, but if you love me, you could get the Define jacket or the Align pant. Or both, if you're in a really good mood. Anyway, see you soon. Bye.
Shop the Polka Flock print now at lululemon.com.
I had that dream again. My small business needs to hire, but I don't use LinkedIn, and I hire wrong. So our orders get all backed up. We're drowning in paperwork than actually drowning. Carol is fighting off sharks with a stapler, and pirates are pillaging the office copier, and then I wake up.
Don't let hiring nightmares ruin your dreams. LinkedIn Jobs' new AI assistant goes beyond the resume, using unique insights to deliver a smarter shortlist. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/quality. Start hiring today with LinkedIn.
Andy Staples from On3 joins us to preview the whole Big 12. Who's the favorites to win it? Who is sneaky? And is this going to be the most fun conference to watch all college football season? All that and more today on Crane & Company. What is up, everybody? Thanks again for joining us and making Crane & Company a daily watch or listen. Remember, without you, there is no us. And we have our last, all right, Power Four Conference preview. We got the Big 12 today from top to bottom, or top and tail, as some would say, Austin Powers would say. And one of the most intriguing conferences of the major four that we're looking at across the country. QB depth, we're going to go through all of it. Who we like right now that the Big 12 media days are practically over. And Andy Staples from On3, one of the best in the business, is here to join us today to break down it. Big 12 preview, Andy Staples.
Yes, sir.
What's up, dude? Yeah, it was just a Big 12 media days, Frisco, Texas, and the Cowboys training facility, which is very, very nice. It was crazy because when you see all the helmets arrayed behind you and you see the players come out in their uniforms and you're like, anybody could win this thing. Mm. Anybody.
Well, I mean, David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback to my left, Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver to my right. I mean, Cohn, this is when we've talked about the Big 12 and kind of getting up to this preview. To me, it's the hardest conference to project what's going to happen, to the point where Brett Yormark and them decided not to do a preseason poll because they were so ass backwards last year with where Arizona State was and BYU and where they finished, which to me, you still do a preseason poll. I think that's a bridge too far. I think that's a compliment to the conference that a team that was picked to finish that low, or teams that were picked to finish that low, ended up, Andy, being at the top of the conference and won, making the college football playoff. I didn't really understand that move.
Well, I agree with that. It's just that's more of a no one wants to be picked 16th kind of thing. They liked it better when there were divisions and you could be picked 8th instead of 16th.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess, well, they never had a 16-team division one, but you could be picked, you know, when they had 12, you could be picked to finish 6th in your division, which doesn't sound as bad as 12th in the conference, but it's really the same thing. But yeah, that's, you know, the Big Ten doesn't do one either. And basically, some of the media members who cover the Big Ten have been doing a poll for years, and that's the one that we use. The SEC and the ACC still do theirs. But yeah, I thought the worst to first thing, the pick to finish worst, actually finish first thing for Arizona State was awesome last year.
Yeah.
If they did it this year, I think Arizona would be picked to finish last. I don't think they're going to finish first this year. I don't have that degree of confidence. Like last year with the Big 12, it was absolutely a toss-up. And this year, there is a little more of a pecking order. Now, I will say with Brett Yormark, one of the things he said at Big 12 Media Days, and I understand it from their perspective, you do kind of need some big dogs to emerge. Programs that are good year in, year out, that you expect to kind of carry the banner for the conference most years. And that's what the Big Ten has. That's what the SEC has. From a making the playoffs, competing for the national title standpoint, you kind of have to have that. From a pure entertainment standpoint, I like the Big 12 exactly the way it is, where I can look at that helmet collection and say there's 9 of these that I think could win the league.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And Blaine, just quickly, the odds to win the Big 12 right now, Which teams are at the top when we're looking at the odds?
I'll give you the top five.
Give me the top
right now. Utah coming in at plus 550 first to win the Big 12. Kansas State plus 600. Arizona State plus 600. Baylor plus 650. Texas Tech plus 650. And right outside of that, probably where you see the biggest drop off, and that's TCU plus 800.
Well, you know, Andy, when I look at this Texas Tech team, and I look at this roster, and I look at the way Joey McGuire has configured this team, I mean, is this the best Texas Tech roster overall that we've seen in maybe the last 5 to 7 years, maybe even a little bit further than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes probably raised the level quite a bit when he was there.
Very
but
true.
They didn't really win that consistently with Patrick Mahomes. You know, you go back to the Michael Crabtree teams at Texas Tech when Mike Leach was there. They had a team that went 11-1 in the regular season. That's probably the high watermark in terms of talent and, you know, all of the things coming together. This is probably one of the more talented rosters in the league, if not the most talented roster in the league. They went in the transfer portal. They were beating teams like Ohio State for players in the transfer portal. That's obviously not something Texas Tech normally does. You're now seeing it in high school recruiting where they're beating Texas for an offensive lineman in the class of 26. They are trying to go into Georgia and take the number one player in the country in the class of 27. So they're not messing around on this front. But this particular team this year, they do feel like they improved the roster quite a bit. Both offensive tackles are new. You've got one Howard Sampson from North Carolina, Hunter Zambrano's from Illinois State. So Hunter Zambrano's more of that. Was great at a lower level. Let's see if he can do it at a higher level. Howard Sampson was good at North Carolina. They felt like, hey, we need some help now. Their D-line is entirely new. They had brought in Romello Height from Georgia Tech on the edge. After spring, when all that stuff went down at Stanford and Troy Taylor got fired, David Bailey jumps into the portal from Stanford. And David Bailey's like a fringe first-round prospect edge rusher. And that he's probably the best NFL prospect of all these guys they brought on board. But they feel like Lee Hunter, the D tackle they got from UCF, Cole Wisniewski, the safety they got from North Dakota State, like all of those guys they feel like are going to make huge contributions. And what's interesting here is basically the guys they brought in from the portal are starting. And everybody else is fairly homegrown. And they have enough of a mix of homegrown that this is not like a complete mercenary team.
For sure.
I'd be a little more worried if it was.
Well, and look, I don't think enough people are talking about Baron Morton. I mean, this guy, when he's healthy, can really do some things. I mean, it's fun to watch that, you know, Joey McGuire, team speed, team speed, team speed. Texas Tech, I would not be shocked they made the college football playoff this year, Coney.
Well, like you guys talked about, this conference was completely inverted a season ago with Arizona State and BYU having incredible years and then Utah and Oklahoma State having losing records. And look, that Oklahoma State team was returning over 20 starters and they go 3-9. And honestly, we probably would have talked about it even more had Florida State not outdone them and gone 2-10 and really got all of the attention. Entering 2025, Andy, I mean, Utah and Oklahoma State specifically, are they poised to return to the top of this conference, or do you see them as fool's gold again?
Oh, Utah's a yes. Yeah. Oklahoma State, the jury's out. We don't know what Oklahoma State's going to be, but Utah is an absolute yes. When you think about it, the Cam Rising injury in the Rose Bowl after the 2022 season really affected the next two Utah seasons.
Without a doubt.
A lot. And actually, last year, it wasn't so much the knee, it's the hand injury that he suffered. I think he hit the Gatorade table and had a really bad hand injury, had to have surgeries. And so it changed everything for them. Their quarterback situation was horrible last year. It's very different this year. They go get the OC from New Mexico and Devin Dampier, the quarterback for New Mexico, who rushed for 1,100 yards and then threw for a bunch of yards. He comes with. So you put him behind an offensive line that has Spencer Freneau at right tackle and Caleb Lomu at left tackle. Both those guys are NFL players. Spencer Freneau may be the first offensive lineman off the board in the draft next year. They're talking top five for him. And so I don't know that anybody else in the Big 12 has an offensive line that talented. Their defensive line is really good and deep too. And you have to remember, this team in the trenches, these older players, the juniors and seniors on this team, they were recruited to win a Pac-12 that also included Oregon, Washington, and USC. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the Big 12 matches up physically with those Oregon and Washington teams of the late Pac-12. Utah was capable of going toe-to-toe with them. I mean, Utah had two consecutive Pac-12 titles, remember?
Yeah.
Washington then won the last one. But Kyle Whittingham has been able to build in the trenches over and over again. This is a bit of a departure from him offensively, but it's not as much as people think. I actually talked to him about this yesterday. He just wants to smash you.
Yeah.
And to have a quarterback that can run for 1,000 yards allows him to smash you. Mm-hmm. And I think probably you're going to have to load the box. And that, you know, look, Devin Dampier's probably not an NFL quarterback, but that's okay. He's a good college quarterback. And what you're going to have to do in terms of how many guys you put in the box to deal with Utah probably should allow him to throw the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how Utah built himself up in the Pac-12, was on the line
exactly.
of scrimmage, right? We talk about USC, that's where they're struggling and things like that. That's where you win these games.
We thought that they would really bring that over into the Big 12. Andy, I want you to break down and explain the situation at BYU right now regarding their quarterback, Jake Retzlaff.
It's a strange one. So he was sued in civil court, a woman claiming that he sexually assaulted her. His attorneys then issue his defense, their response to that. And they said, no, it was a consensual encounter. Here are the text messages between the two after the encounter. Here's some evidence, you know, supporting what he's saying. Well, remember, it's BYU. If it's another school, this unfolds differently. But it is BYU. The fact that in his response, he admits to a consensual sexual encounter outside of marriage, that's a violation of the BYU honor code. So he was going to be on the hook for a 7-game suspension. This is his last year. He's not eligible again after this year. He can't redshirt this year. So basically he's leaving. He's going somewhere else. And when it became clear that he was leaving BYU, the suit was dropped. The suit was dismissed. And so it's a very strange situation. He is going somewhere else. BYU is going to help him get there in terms of the machinations that are required. There's a way to enter the transfer portal now if a school puts you on a list of guys that were going to get cut because of the new roster limits. They could release him from his scholarship. They could request a waiver for him. They're trying to make it where he can go somewhere else if he wants to, because this is a situation where if all of this had happened and he wasn't at BYU, he'd be allowed to play. But BYU has the honor code. They're going to enforce it. And so now we're just waiting to see where he winds up.
Any early indications? You hearing anything? And so I haven't heard anything as far as speculation.
The schools have been thrown around. We've checked up on, and it doesn't seem like it's gotten traction. It's a very tough situation if you're a coach considering bringing Jake Retzlaff in, because I would argue that Jake Retzlaff is better than probably 2/3 of the starting quarterbacks in America right now, but he also only would have a month to learn the offense.
Yeah.
Even if you aren't sure about your quarterback situation right now, are you willing to blow up your entire quarterback room to bring this guy in? Because there's a chance if you bring this guy in at this late date that you may have two quarterbacks that are fighting for the job, or a starter and a backup that you're okay with. They may be like, screw you, I'm leaving if you're going to do this to me. So this is a very delicate situation if you're the coach thinking about bringing Jake Retzlaff on.
Yeah, the worst part is the timing, like you bring up. That is the most crucial part. But how bad does this put, I mean, where's BYU now? Like when you're looking at them with who they're going to come in with the backup, I know they returned some talent around the quarterback position. I really like what they did in the offensive line last year. I really think they got a really good up-and-coming O-line coach. But how far behind the eight ball is BYU now?
Yeah, it's interesting because you remember I talked about David Bailey transferring from Stanford to Texas Tech. Bear Bachmeyer, Hank Bachmeyer's brother, if you remember Hank Bachmeyer from Boise State, and I believe where was it, Wake Forest last year, but his brother Bear was at Stanford. He left after spring and wound up at BYU. Now he may have a chance to win that job. It's an open competition right now, and he's one of the people competing for the job, but you know it's a question of what's Kalani Sitake going to do, and I don't think you really have a choice but to just say, hey, Treyson Bourget, McKay Hillstead, Bear Bachmeyer, you get after it, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
they do have quite a bit back from that team. They lost a receiver named Keelan Marion, who is a really good return guy and also just a speedy slot guy. They lost him in the portal in the spring to Miami, so it's not as big of an array of weapons as you would have had, but they still have a roster that's capable of winning a bunch of games in the Big 12. So it's a matter of choosing the right quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Marion went to replace.
Well, since we're on the conversation of quarterbacks, a little bit shined in a different light here other than the BYU situation. Andy, does the Big 12 from top to bottom have the most, has the talentedest quarterback in all conferences?
I would say so. Because it's not just talent. It's the fact that you have a bunch of proven commodities. Yeah. You have a bunch of guys who've started for their teams, who you've seen have success in their offenses. Jalen Daniels at Kansas actually played 12 games healthy last year. I think people forget that. And that was the knock on him. Now, I don't think they were utilizing him the way they probably should have been for the first half of the season. They kind of figured some things out. They made an OC change where Jeff Grimes left and went to Wisconsin. They promoted the quarterbacks coach. So I think Kansas's offense can be very good. Avery Johnson at Kansas State, probably the most physically talented quarterback in the league. How much of a jump does he make from his first to second year as the starter? Sawyer Robertson at Baylor was awesome last year. They did not expect him to be the starter going into the season. That was supposed to be Daquan Finn. Robertson takes over, and they were great last year. Josh Hoover at TCU. That's a guy we think Tennessee inquired about Josh Hoover after Nico Iamaleava left, but Josh Hoover stayed at TCU. He was lighting up at the end of last season. We will see on Labor Day, because he goes against Bill Belichick game one.
That's right.
That's going to be fun.
Starting a podcast can be overwhelming. Script, setup, filming schedule, logos. I mean, we were trying to figure it all out, but we ended up finding out when you're launching something new, your to-do list, well, it's going to grow daily, threatening to take over your life. But finding a tool that both helps simplify and just overall helps you can be a game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Make that noise, Blaine.
Cha-ching!
Good job. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide.
Thanks.
10% of all U.S. e-commerce. Shopify, they're behind everyone from big names like Gymshark to that new brand you may have discovered, just like Crane & Company, and you love it so much. Starting out is simple. Just pick one of their hundreds of templates and customize it to match your style. No design skills needed. You don't have to be Andy Warhol. And creating content? Well, that's where their AI really shines. You need product descriptions or catchy headlines? Done. Want better product photos? They got you covered. But the best part? It's how easy marketing becomes. You can reach your customers wherever they are, whether they're doom scrolling through social media or checking their email. Now, behind the scenes, Shopify handles everything else: inventory, shipping, returns, all the details you don't want to worry about. Because the truth is, if you're ready to sell something, Shopify is ready for you. Turn your big business into
cha-ching!
With cha-ching! Davis was so much better.
Cha-ching!
With Shopify on your side. Sign up for a $1 per month trial and start selling today. It's shopify.com/crane. That's shopify.com/crain. Shopify.com/crane. On three. One, two, three.
Shopify.com/crane. Oh,
didn't know. Shopify. Cool.
Cha-ching. And do you think the Big 12 will be the conference most fun to watch from week to week? Week in, week out. Gotta be, right? Look, the SEC from a talent standpoint, I get it. But just from an intrigue.
Well, Brett Yormark says they'll be the deepest.
Be banger after banger, because you just don't know. Like, we joke on my show, me and Ari Wasserman joke, that we should mint a special Big 12 3.5-point coin that we just flip to pick most of the games. Like, and I just realized, I forgot to mention Rocco Becht and Iowa State.
Yeah,
when
really
I was
good.
Going through all those great quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, they're really good. Like, you're going to see Rocco Becht against Avery Johnson week zero in Dublin when we import Farmageddon to Ireland.
Yes.
Like, the Irish are going to be like, America's the greatest place on earth.
Yeah. And like, we both K-State don't like England.
Show up, so. Like, we love you.
Yeah. We both got beef with England that goes on a long time. Avery Johnson and Kansas State, though. I love what Coach Klieman does. I think, you know, as far as knowing your identity as a program and culturally, from North Dakota State on to Kansas State, is this the year that Kansas State puts it all together? Do they have the weapons around Avery, and then on the defensive side in that front seven, can this team be the best team in the Big 12?
It can, and it's the one I think most of the coaches think will be the best team in the Big 12, okay. Or at least one of the best two. Our guy Brett McMurphy did an anonymous poll of the coaches. K-State, basically the way he asked it was, you can't pick your own team, pick two teams to play for the title. K-State was the most common answer.
Really?
There were 9 different answers, but K-State was the most common answer. The coaches really respect what Chris Klieman does. They feel like he's going to have his guys where they need to be. They're going to be well-coached. But Avery Johnson, I think, is the wild card here because, you know, you asked, does he have the weapons? He needs to be the weapon.
Yeah.
Because he is incredibly fast. Like, if you go back to his freshman year, go to the TCU game his freshman year when they were splitting time between him and Will Howard a little bit. He looked like freshman Lamar Jackson running the ball. He didn't look like that most of last year. He didn't, and I don't know if there was an injury situation or, but it didn't feel like he was able to utilize that speed in the most effective way. Because if he's as fast as he looked his freshman year, you don't have to worry. So it's the same thing I said with David Napier in Utah. He doesn't have to be the greatest thrower of the ball. And Avery Johnson has a really strong arm.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really good arm. But he made some first-year starter-type mistakes last year. He had some games where he threw picks and it hurt them. But if he makes better decisions with the ball and he's fully healthy and running the way we think he can run, I think they're going to be incredibly hard to stop.
Yeah, and it's one of those things with the quarterback. I know you want to prove that you can throw it, that you're not just a runner, but don't let that take away from you being a really, really effective runner. I call it the Jalen Milroe effect.
Yeah. I don't know what else you guys are going to ask. I have 2 more questions. You want to jump in on something, Blaine? Colorado?
Colorado.
Go ahead, get to it.
So right now, I mean, Colorado, Deion Sanders did bring Julian Lewis and Caden Salter with him to Big 12 media day, so I don't get your thoughts on that. You know, and how Colorado is going to look this year after losing, I mean, the Hives and winner and Travis Hunter, and obviously Shadur, his son, at quarterback. Right now, they're slated at 6.5 wins for their win total this year, and it's going off at +148. So the money's actually laying below 6.5. Andy, what's your thoughts on the quarterbacks, both being there and just Colorado as a whole?
I think 6.5 feels about right because we don't know what this team's going to be. I mean, you lose the best player in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis Hunter was something we've not seen in our lifetimes, a two-way player who's that good. So we don't know how well they're going to replace him. It's going to be difficult to – and remember, it wasn't just Travis Hunter. They had a really good receiving core. Like LaJonte Wester
may
have been their third option and was awesome.
Horn's a hell of a player.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're going to have to see what happens with them on the line of scrimmage. I thought they got better on both lines of scrimmage as the season went on last year. Jordan Seaton was one of those that, you know, he was the number one tackle prospect in the country. He commits on one of the Fox shows like, okay, what is this? Is this all for show? Oh, no. He was as good as advertised. Mm-hmm. Like, he got better and better last season. He was at Media Days yesterday, and I found him very refreshing because remember, he's the one when their center hit the portal and wound up at Texas Tech. Jordan Seaton's like, hey, we're trying to build a team here. What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is a, because we watched Deion go into the portal hard the first 2 years. He didn't this year. Yeah. This year, he did it about as much as everybody else did. Mm-hmm. And that tells me he likes the guys he's got. And I think that's going to be interesting. The quarterback situation, bringing both guys to media days, that is the first time I can remember ever seeing a true freshman brought by any team to media days.
How did he look physically, Andy? How did he look physically?
So Juju Lewis has a really thick lower body. Like he looks like he could stand. He's pretty sturdy, and the fact that he's only 17 years old right now means he's going to get even bigger. And he's not huge up top, but the fact that they brought him, because I think people will look at that and say, well, that's Deion just keeping a promise he made in recruiting or something. That's not how Deion operates. Deion's a little more old school as an actual coach than I think people realize. But I think Deion is looking at this kid as somebody who may play, who may even start for them. Caden Salter obviously was a 3-year starter at Liberty, won a bunch of games. The fact that Julian Lewis was there with Caden Salter tells me that Deion Sanders thinks that's a lot closer than we do.
Yeah.
And I would not be shocked. Look, the thing is, Caden Salter's a very mobile quarterback. He's going to be asked to run. So your backup needs to be ready in any case. But this sounds like, to me, they really think Julian Lewis might wind up being the guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he can really spin it. And Caden Salter ain't very big either for a guy that runs a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In that league, too, moving over here. So it's going to be interesting.
It's been a quiet offseason for sure from Colorado and from Deion Sanders.
Which I don't think is a bad.
I don't know if that, if that should be alarming or if that means that they actually might be even scarier. Andy, I do want to ask you about this post from the WWE here, wrestling. It says WWE and the Big 12 Conference today announced an expansion to their multifaceted partnership that will see hashtag SmackDown broadcast from Big 12 markets on the eve of four conference football games throughout the 2025 season. My question is this going to add value for the conference, or is this a gimmick that the other conferences around the country will just laugh at?
I don't know if they're going to laugh at it. I do think it's kind of cool. I'm not a big wrestling guy. I haven't watched much wrestling since I was 13 or 14 years old. But I think it's fun. I have no problem with Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, throwing these ideas against the wall. Yeah. And look, I mean, the places they're going is like Cincinnati, Tempe, Salt Lake. See, these are big cities anyway. These are places that SmackDown would have originated from anyway. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun just to, look, they had some WWE folks out there. They're cutting promos at media days. Anything that helps draw some attention to the conference helps people, you know, be aware of what's going on, you know, because I'm guessing, I know SmackDown's got a big audience. Like, if they're branding it and they're saying, hey, watch this game tomorrow, that only helps those games because it's like an Iowa State Cincinnati game. They're actually doing the one in Dublin before Farmageddon.
Yeah.
So cool. I think these are things that, like, Brett Yormark is trying everything he can to build awareness for his conference. That's not going to ultimately be the thing that keeps the Big 12 as a power conference or not. What will keep them as a power conference is if, like, what Texas Tech is doing, spending on its roster works. What Utah is doing, developing these linemen works. And you have teams that make the playoff and win games in the playoff. And look, you know, they didn't win a game in the playoff last year. They only got one team in. But Arizona State had Texas with a 4th-and-13 at the end of the game. And Texas should have lost that game probably. So it's not like the Big 12 threw up all over itself in the playoff. Like, Arizona State was very much in that. So if they get a couple teams in and somebody wins some games, that is how you keep this thing going. And I think that's the goal of everybody in the league.
Well, I think Brett Yormark's a very, very smart individual. And he understands, again, you know, there's a reason that that guy in the gorilla suit's out there in front of the car dealership spinning the sign.
Oh, yeah.
It may not work for everybody, but somebody saw that
And the SEC and the Big Ten sell themselves. You don't have to sell Michigan and Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee. Like, they already have the built-in audience.
Yeah.
Big 12 needs to build audience, so they need to do what they can.
Yeah. I got a couple more for you, Andy. We appreciate Andy Staples from On3 joining us, previewing the Big 12. Baylor, when I look at this team and that game against Auburn, is massive week one
it's
for
so
both
good.
Teams, but especially for Auburn. I'm hearing it's going to be a blackout. I'm hoping they don't play Soulja Boy. But this Baylor team, the more you look at the roster, the scarier they become. I mean, the interior of their offensive line, I think, is really, really good. Sawyer Robertson came in for Daquan Finn and Bald. I'll be interested to see what goes on with, I think it's Hawkins, I believe, the receiver that they're trying to get eligible now. They've got a couple guys that have came in. They got the number one punt returner in the country coming back. That's a really good player. This Baylor team, they could win the Big 12 as well.
They definitely could. They were at the end of last season as hot as anybody in the league.
For sure.
You know, you go back, like, that Colorado game just crushed them. They could have probably made the Big 12 championship game had they not blown the Colorado game in the middle of the season. But Jake Spavital is their OC. He was new last year. You know, he didn't know what he had yet in Sawyer Robertson. They've had an entire offseason to work together and build that offense. And Sawyer Robertson, I was talking to some people yesterday, like, knows the answers before he even gets the questions now. And I think that makes a big difference. Dave Aranda's really excited about this team. And this is a better roster than we've seen at Baylor in a while. And part of it was, and Dave Aranda admitted this at Media Days last year, is they didn't spend as much as they should in NIL early on. Now they understand. And now, of course, you've got the revenue sharing. So they have a good chunk of money to spend on players. And look, Baylor's a highly motivated donor base. Like they're going to be able to spend, and I think they've done a good job scouting. I'm excited about this one. This is one of those, I would not be shocked at all if Baylor's playing for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just want to see Dave Aranda show any emotion about anything.
He shows tons of emotion. You have to understand, he's not Coach O. But he's not. But Dave Aranda, you know, it's a different kind of emotion. He's much more kind of zen about everything. But you get him going, he's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, I want to see it because I've heard he's actually a really, really funny guy. Sam Levin, Arizona State. Are we going to get an encore? We going to get an encore? I mean, again, I knew you loved
Scatabu. It's funny because I think everybody thinks that was all Cam Scatabu last season.
No,
and
not
it was
even
definitely
close.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Levitt's the best quarterback in the league. Sam Levitt actually is one of the better quarterbacks in the country. You know, it's interesting because we talk about good college quarterbacks versus guys that are NFL prospects. Sam Levitt is a great college quarterback who also is going to be a big-time NFL prospect. So we're not talking about him as being, you know, one of the best in the Big 12. We're talking about him being one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget Jordan Tyson, very big, very fast receiver, was out for their two toughest games last year. Like, missed the Big 12 championship, missed the Peach Bowl. He's back. I think Arizona State could be really good. The Scatabu thing is interesting because it became such a phenomenon. But I think they'll be able to run the ball still. And you have Sam Levitt, who, like, our advanced stats guy, Clark Brooks at On3, he thinks that Sam Levitt is the best thrower of the deep ball in the country. He's certainly one of the most accurate if you look at the stats. So I think they're going to build, like, Kenny Dillingham, understanding what he has in Sam Levitt, is going to build on that this year. And they're going to light it up offensively. The question is, you know, how good are they going to be at stopping people?
Yep.
And can they run the ball close to as well as they did with Cam?
Well, the more I watch Levitt play, I just feel like he's a faster version of Bo Nix. Like, when you watch the way that they both operate, like, it's but
no, Sam's nasty.
Yeah, Levitt is running, though. Yeah. Like, that white boy is running.
And the thing, like, so the confidence of late Oregon Bo Nix.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have, like, with Auburn Bo Nix, it was the good Bo, bad Bo. Mm. You never have those plays with Levitt where he'll keep things alive behind the line of scrimmage, and you're like, okay, what are you going to do with this? But you rarely see where it just goes and spirals into a completely negative outcome.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't put you in really bad situations, even though he can keep things alive.
Yeah. I love watching him play.
I think Sam Levin, Jordan Tyson might be the best duo in college football.
Well, I'm looking at draft boards with Jordan Tyson and they're like, this dude could be first.
He's the NFL ready.
Did y'all know there's an award for best duo?
Yeah.
The Pony Express Award that Craig James and Eric Dickerson get together and give it out as like the best duo in the country. And that's what you just mentioned. I think that would be a pretty solid one right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no joke. But y'all got anything else for Andy here?
Thanks for joining us, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it, Andy.
Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, excited. Andy Staples from On3. Go check him out. One of the best in the business. Make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button as well. Keep sharing the show and like the chances. And me not being excited about watching the Big 12 carnage because it's going to be crazy. We're going. Oh, yeah. Gone.